we've spent, like our brother said, we've spent a lot of time in Exodus. Just thinking about, you know, there's a couple of chapters in Genesis where God lays out the creation of just about everything. And here we're into the 29th chapter of Exodus. You know, you see all the rest of Genesis where after creation, man, fall of man, and now you see what we've been going through in this the book of Exodus, where simply what Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go so that they may worship God." So now we're in the 29th chapter of this this saga, and that's what it is. It's at times the nation of Israel might have seen it as agony at times, but it's the Lord diligently and patiently with long suffering bringing his people to a point of understanding who he is, what he wants to do, and how to go about it. And if you were here 2 weeks ago, this is the last slide of Dan's. But he went over the garments, every specific aspect of the garments. And it was really a beautiful picture of what Christ has done when it comes to his righteousness and how we're clothed. The Holy Spirit that is an anointing, the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, love, guidance. And here we have this access to God, this thing that God has so much desired to have access, true access to his people. And we'll talk, really, that's what Exodus 29 really goes into, and it's the consecration of the priest, Aaron and his sons. That's what we'll be getting in today. And it is a challenging book, but I think we'll be able to glean some things that you'll be able to take home with you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you that we start to look at the complexities of you, a holy God, and sinful man, and how you, in your perfect plan, in your perfect timing, and in your perfect way, have wrought a way that we can have access to you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for that access. And it's not just for a season, it's not just for a time and a time again, but it's for all eternity, that you have provided that perfect sacrifice in your only beloved Son, so again that we may have access to you, a holy God. We thank you for that. And Father, as the word goes out today, wherever it might be, Father, that the gospel is a clear message is declared, and people who don't know you as Lord and Savior would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, if there would be anyone in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. You are a very present God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us and teaches us in your way and the things that you would have us to know. So we just give this time now to you in the Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about the consecration of the priests. And there's a purpose to it. This is a picture that I found where Moses, of course, has been instructed by God that Aaron and his sons are to become a peculiar family. They are too peculiar from the standpoint of there'll be unique things that they will be doing, first for God, and secondly for the nation of Israel, that he's called them out. And this consecration is really a separation, calling out individuals for a specific task. And it's no less with us, right? We have specific gifts and talents that the Lord has gifted us with, and he has specific ministries for us. But first and foremost, the ministry is to God, right? He is the important one. It's all about him. The flesh wants to make it all about us, but God is now calling out Aaron and his sons to first minister to him and the things that he would have. He's first and foremost, and then to minister the sacrificial needs of the nation as a whole. There's a choosing that's going on here, and I think that's something that we can take into the present day also. Is that Aaron and his sons were chosen by God. There was no survey that went out. There was no ballot box that had to be taken care of. There were no votes to be counted. This was the thing of God and not of man. It was where these guys found out that they're going to have a new career path. And it isn't the same as what they were doing in the past for the most part. That they were going to be committed to the service of God. God declaring His acceptance as we go through the sacrifices, you'll find that these sweet aromas, these sweet savors of the Lord are really His acceptance of the sacrifices. And the nation to know that these men did not glorify themselves, but they were truly called of God. And it was done at the tabernacle door as we get in here. It was not done. Remember that Paul, when he proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ and His works, he says, you know, these things weren't done in a corner. These things were not done in hiding. These were done openly so that you may know that Christ, that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And the same thing here, that these were done, the consecration of the priests was done for all of the nation to see. There were specific things, right? We talked a little bit about this, boys, in Sunday school, right? God always has an order. He has a specific order, a structure to things, whether it's the family, whether it's the priesthood here that we're talking about, whether it's worship. There's always structure and order. He has a plan. It's perfect, and He's going forward. So a young bull without blemish is required. Two rams are going to be required for this consecration. Unleavened bread and cakes mixed with oil. We know unleavened means without sin, right? That yeast is a picture of sin, oil being a picture of the Holy Spirit. Unleavened wheat wafers, oil to anoint. And this process was going to take about 7 days. So it wasn't just something that was done during, you know, a 90-minute session. So, Exodus 29, if you can open to your books, there's 44 verses here, I think, 44 or 45 verses. If I was to spend 2 minutes on each verse, we're going to be here till about 3 o'clock. So that won't happen today. So you'll see at the top of each slide some snippets of maybe a verse or a cluster of verses. But please, I would challenge you to please take a look, read the chapter. There's some real blessing in this. Aaron and his sons, you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. It was performed in a way, like I said, that it would be seen by all. And some verses that speak to the importance of washing, of being clean, prior to to ministering as priests. Isaiah 52:11 says, "Those who bear vessels of God must be clean, not just the outward cleansing, but the inward cleansing that only God can do." And we see in 2 Corinthians 7:1, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from two things, right? All filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, last time I checked, we can't do those things in ourselves, can't we? We cannot do those. We are totally dependent upon God in His sovereignty and in His grace and mercy to do these things for us. This picture is a little off. This is Moses. It'd be a picture of Moses. And he's washing, this is the high priest, so this would be Aaron himself. But quite frankly, it would be much more humbling because they wouldn't have the garments on yet. Probably just a loincloth, because now the flesh is going to be washed. And you can see that it's going to be in full view here. So it was humbling, and it was viewed by all. But we have to acknowledge that sin is something that's present, and it needs to be dealt with. The flesh likes to hide sin, don't we? We like to hide it in a closet. We like to just put it away. I'd really rather not talk about that. Let's not bring that up to people who know us because they don't really know us. All right? I mean, that's purely the flesh. But this was a ritual that was done in full view of everybody, recognizing that all of sin, these people, the ministers or the priests, were no different than the nation of Israel. I love this thing. The washing was a one-time thing. In the consecration of the priests, they were washed once. John 13:10 tells us, Jesus said to them, "He was bathed, that is cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, needs only to wash his feet. We're washed by his word and spirit." This is that verse, I believe, that we just did here. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in water, his own precious blood. You'll see these pictures as we go and weave through these sacrifices, that here's more. The Lord, through this ritual, is revealing more to the nation of Israel, but we have much more. We have much more. We've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Exodus 29, 5 through 9. Then you shall take the garments, the priesthood, to be theirs for perpetual state. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. None of their own clothing was acceptable. So anything they had collected along the way, anything they may have made or bartered for or had produced themselves, it wasn't acceptable in the performance of the sacraments that they were to do for themselves or for God, for themselves and for the nation. And I like this descriptor here. These garments were at no expense to them. They didn't have to save their money and collect coupons so they could get their garments, right? They didn't have to labor to weave them. No skill on their part was needed to make them. They just needed to put them on. We just need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? God has provided and accomplished and brought together all those things that we need. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot his name out from the book of life, it says in Revelation 3:5. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Think about that situation. I think I can respectfully say that whenever the Lord Jesus is ever going to say anything in the vaults of heaven, there isn't one ear that's not going to turn and listen. And what is he saying here? Not only am I going to clothe those who know me, all right, but I'm going to profess and confess their name before my Father and to all of his angels. These, again, are those thoughts that we had at the breaking of bread. They're just bigger than us. They're bigger than what we can scarcely take in. And that doesn't make us prideful, does it? It just reduces us to this person who loves us so much. We just need to put him on. Exodus 29:7, and you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Now Moses, remember, he's the high priest. He's acting on behalf of God. So he's taking care of this first consecration. And it wasn't just, you know, a little dab over his head. If we go to, you don't have to go there, but I believe it's in Psalm 133:2 when God talks about the unity of the brethren. And it's precious, like that oil that is poured over the turban, down the beard of Aaron, and over his garments. So this anointing was abundant anointment. And this is probably a good picture of it. I mean, there's a fairly large bowl there. Oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. It's qualifying for the work, right? We need to be qualified for the work. We can't do anything in our own strength. Same thing here with the priests. It qualified them. The Holy Spirit leads them in their duties, in those things that have to be done according to a holy God. Think of that charge. Here's your job description. Do everything right, or you'll be consumed. I mean, the Holy Spirit has to interject himself here. That the nation might be filled and delighted by the sweet savor of his administration. There was a blessing. The oil, the anointment of the oil, was a picture of the Holy Spirit and that God blessing these priests, all right? But also there's a blessing to the nation of Israel as they administer the sacraments and they administer the things that needed to be done to atone for sin. The same with us, right? We come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit is now not, we're not anointed, we're actually, the Holy Spirit is baptized into us. God the Father, in that twinkling of an eye, impresses the Holy Spirit into us. So now, he sees us as his dear children. So not only do we receive the blessings of God, but we bless those people that are in the arena of our economy, right, as individuals, whether it be in school, whether it be in our families, whether it be here in the assembly, wherever it might be. The picture is the same for us. Romans 5:5, I think we read this. Now, hope does not disappoint. We don't have that hope, someday maybe this thing will take place. We have that sure hope of the future events that will take care, not only the current, but the future events that will take place because of the Lord Jesus. Because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, that's the indwelling Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us for a time? No. For a season? No, for all eternity. Moving on in this consecration in verses 10 through 14, you shall also have a bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord. It is a sin offering. So here's the first offering, right? Cleansing, that doesn't cover it. Any covenant has to be taken care of by a sacrifice. Washing was only one aspect of this symbolic cleansing. A sin offering for atonement must be made. Must be made. We know, because we're on the other side of Calvary, right, that this was just a substitute that was taking place. This was the first of many bulls that were going to be sacrificed. He finds no pleasure in that. He finds pleasure in the death of his son. So the sons of Aaron and Aaron himself are not just touching. They're not just, okay, I want to just touch him enough to just get my sin over there. All right? No, they're pressing hard into this bull. They've all got their hands on him, and they're confessing and professing their sin before a holy God. God is then going to use this innocent victim, the bull, as a substitutionary death, right? That's what's going to take place. And before I talk about this in this one bullet, let's think about the sacrifice. And to be as polite, I guess, as possible, but that bull has to be run through, probably at the neck. Some type of a vessel has to be held there as the blood is pouring, the lifeblood is pouring out of this beast, and you can see the eyes dimming and darkening until finally there's death. What an event just for these priests to have to go through and recognize that this is for me. This is a life that's been taken from me. After the sacrifice, the altar was sanctified with blood, and the best portions were burnt on the altar to God, and the rest of the body was taken outside of the camp. It's a recognition, some of the commentaries would say, that the priest would say, I haven't given my best to you, so this innocent bull will give the best parts to you. Take that up as our sin offering, and the flesh goes outside the camp. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians. This is good. This is a new revelation. This is an atonement, for temporary atonement for sin. But again, we can take it into the New Testament. How much more we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first sin offering. Exodus 29, verses 15 through 18. A snippet of that is, you shall take one ram. Now the first ram is coming into place. And his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram. Burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma to the Lord. Once again, pressing hard on the priests are associating themselves with the sacrifice. They've got to come near the sacrifice. They have to identify with the sacrifice because atonement is being made. So once again, they're confessing and symbolically transferring their sin on the innocent ram. God is actually transferring sin. This atonement is for them, but it's not something that they can do. It's what God is doing. The altar was sanctified with the blood from the innocent victim. And all portions were burnt on the altar. So this is similar as the first offering, but a little bit different standpoint, right? The entire beast is put on that altar. We've seen that in previous messages, right? And it totally is consumed by God. We are to wholly give ourselves over to the work and to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this burnt offering is something that is wholly given over to the honor of God. Again, the priest should live totally to God. It's a sweet aroma because he's accepting it, all right? It's not something that he's shying away from. It's something that he's embracing and taking it for what it's intended for. And again, just a complimentary verse, and my boys should know this verse. We talked about it today, didn't we? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't a suggestion, is it? I beseech you, I implore to you, all right, that now you have this position. this is what I'm telling you that you need to consider and you need to take hold of and you need to embrace. I beseech you there, brethren, brothers and sisters in the Lord, so we're not talking to people who don't know Christ, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, giving ourselves wholly over to His will and what He would have. Holy, acceptable to God. Last time I checked, I am not holy in myself. I am not acceptable to God in myself or within my strength. It's only by the mercies of God and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our reasonable service. We can't be puffed up in it. It's just what's expected of us. And we would do that with gladness. We're all the way to verses 29 or 19 to 21. You shall take the other ram. So now a second ram comes into play. All right. You shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Then you shall kill the ram, take some of the blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and on the tip of the right ear of his son, on the thumbs of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot. Take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments. So this is a little hard to see, but okay, we're dealing with the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe. Right? We could glean from that, okay, listening to God, do that which God is telling us to do, right? Sanctifying that. If you think of your right hand, it's the forward digit, isn't it? As we stand still, and when we go to grasp something to work, it's that wonderful opposing digit that we have that it allows us to employ ourselves and to be utilized of God. And of course, the foot is the path forward. Everything must be sanctified and purposely set forth for God's use. Once again, pressing hard upon the ram, always identified with the innocent sacrifice victim. We will always be found in Christ. We would not want to be found anyplace else, all right? Associating ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. The altar was sanctified with the blood. These instruments had to be holy, holy before God. Again, they had to be marked. They had to be identified. And he didn't want... This time we're not using portions of the sacrifice, are we? We see references in Scripture that what's in the blood? Life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. It's the blood here. It's the life that needs to be applied as the holy instrument here. Spurgeon puts it a nice way or a good way when he talks about the oil and the blood being mingled, the sacrifice of the life and the Holy Spirit being mingled. We need to know that there's double anointing in our lives. The blood of Jesus which cleanses and the oil of the Holy Spirit which perfumes us, it is well to see that these two blend in one. It's a terrible blunder to set the blood and the oil in opposition. They must always be together. They're always together. Exodus 29 through 28. Take the fat of this ram now, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe that's attached to the liver, the two kidneys, the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration, one loaf of bread, one cake, made with the oil, and one wafer. You shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration, wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. That's pretty busy, isn't it? A lot of work going on there. But now there's a difference. There's a difference in this sacrifice, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's a picture of Christ. The choicest parts of the ram were waved before God, presented to Him as a presentation, and the Lord then burnt it as an act of complete devotion. He always gets the best portion, doesn't he? But we see something different here. The remaining portion is given to the priest, and it speaks of something. All of a sudden, we had that sin offering of the bull, right? We had that first ram that was totally consumed by God, and now we have this ram that's being apportioned out. A portion's going to God. A portion is going to man. It speaks of personal fellowship with God, sharing It's that inward eating something, all right, that God is also taking in. It's internalizing the things of God. It's active. It's an active event that's taking place. And it comes from a need and produces satisfaction. So many things that we can see here in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Lord saying, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you're never really going to know me. People are offended by that. But we know what that means. Taking in the Lord Jesus Christ, internalizing him, all right? Taking in his word. Once we've come to know him, come to experience him. That eating comes from need. We're hungry. These guys are going to be there for 7 days, right? They're going to have to eat, and they're going to partake of this portion of the ram. But eating comes from need. Recognizing that we are sinful people, we recognize the need for a Savior. We must have a Savior. There's no way we can accomplish getting over this sin and being able to move into the presence of a holy God without recognizing our need. And then once we come to know that we can be complete in Him, that He is the sacrifice for us, that's when we see satisfaction. This is a little wordy, but again, some good words from a commentary of Spurgeon. Eating did not bring consecration. The act of eating doesn't bring about the consecration. It came after washing, clothing, and the blood atonement of the priests. The eating speaks of the continuing relationship of the priest with God. The eating of the sacrifice is not intended to give life. That's not going to give life, for no dead man can eat, but to sustain life which is already there, life in Christ, right? A believing look at Christ makes you live, but spiritual life must be fed and sustained. I am the vine. You are the branches. Outside of me, you can do nothing. The recognition and the realization that we must have life given by God through Jesus Christ, and then that life must be nourished and sustained through faith and through His Word, are precious things. Verses 22 through 28. We're still on the second ram. Consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron and that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings. That is, their heave offering to the Lord. So this is not waved. It's heaved up before the Lord. Presented that way as a heave offering. And it's some of the priest's portion. They're going to partake of this meat. And it's raised up before the Lord as an offering, as a peace offering between God now and the entire nation. So the breadth of these sacrifices and the breadth of the consecrations of the high priest is now permeating into the nation of Israel, right? God is providing. And then also there's this portion that's coming from the nation of Israel. And that sacrifice will not only be for them, but it is blessed, it has become holy, and it's done by God. These portions given to the priest to eat, and it speaks of what? Here's another personal relationship, right? They've got they're sharing the things of the Lord, and they're also sharing the things that have been provided by the nation. It's considered sanctified provision from the people to the priests. Everybody's involved here. Everybody's involved. Okay, 38 to 41. Going through all these verses, huh? We'll cut into verse 38. Offering to the altar two lambs of the first year. So these are young lambs. Day by day continually, one lamb you shall offer in the morning, the other lamb you shall offer in twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil and one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, that is just before evening, and you shall offer it with the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning, for it is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. sweet offering. It's acceptable. It's every morning. It's every night. Now, in conjunction with this, because remember, this is something that's taking place over 7 days, a bull is offered as a sin offering every day also. Because what? This is only temporary. It's only temporary. Nothing can totally eradicate sin except the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the drink offering speaks of emptying oneself to minister to the Lord first and then to the nations, that structure that we talked about. All right? Offering ourselves up. They were sweet to the Lord. He loves complete devotion, right? What do we see? I believe it's in Revelation, right? Where if you're neither hot or cold, you're kind of on the fence. How does he see that? Spew you from my mouth, right? He loves complete devotion. If we think that we can be totally devoted to God and offer up things to him in all of these things, but this thing right here, because that's my little closet and I want to keep that here, he abhors that. He loves complete devotion. Can we do it by ourselves? Absolutely not. We can only do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Boys, if you remember what we talked about today, right? Sometimes our faith is going to cause us to have to do things that we really don't want to do in the flesh, right? We have to go to God. We have to go to God. We have to ask for help. He's the only one that's going to take us through those things. This was done each day for the 7 remaining days. Every day was given to God. But you and I, the blood of the Lamb forever makes intercession. We don't need this morning and evening sacrifice. We don't need the blood of bulls, goats, birds, grain. We don't need those things. We have everything in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're getting towards the end here, verses 44 through 46. So I, just notice the I wills in this. This is God speaking. I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. It's all about him. All of these things that the priest had to do right, all this order, all this structure, everything that's being done is being accomplished because of the great I will. I'll do all these things. I'm asking you to participate. Why is it so important? Consecrated priests in a worshiping nation so he could meet and speak with his people. That great desire on the behalf of a creator God to want to invest himself in the intimate day-to-day aspects of our lives. That's his desire. Holiness and sin. There's no getting past it. But through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires to have a deep, meaningful relationship with his people. We can't take the totality of the truth right now. We heard that in the breaking of bread, right? We heard that in the breaking of bread. We can't stand in his presence. We couldn't stand in his light. We would be consumed, all right? But he wants us to work out our salvation. He wants us to come and have a deep and meaningful relationship as his people. Consecration removed the barriers to God's glory being revealed. And the nation of Israel would see that during their travels. Creating one to minister to himself. We are a debtor to mercy alone. His covenant mercy I see. My name from the palm of his hands can never be erased. He's creating people to come to himself, to worship him as he should be rightfully worshipped in spirit and in truth. We'll end with this slide. Do we have a greater priesthood? Theirs was important, right? But we have a very great priesthood. Also, 1 Peter 2:5, you also as living stones. What an analogy there. Living stones. Think of that picture, right? Of the Lord on the donkey coming into Jerusalem, and the electorate, you know, the echelon of the Hebrew nation is telling you got to quiet these people down. If they don't say anything, these stones are going to rise up and they're going to glorify me. We are living stones to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are build up a spiritual house, not haphazardly, but by the direct and specific purposes of God, layering each and every one of us into that perfect building, His church, His body, for specific needs, for specific purposes. A holy priesthood. That's not our work. We can't make ourselves holy. He has to do it. To offer up what? Bulls and goats and pigeons? And no. We're living sacrifices. We're spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God, and always through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen generation, four verses down from that in 1 Peter. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Let's just stop right there. Chosen, royal, holy, and special. He sees us so much differently than we see ourselves. Because we get hung up in the issues of the day, the event that's before us, and not to make those events small, okay? And not to make those events not painful, for they can be, and they are, all right? But from His perspective, He sees the beginning and the end of all of that. And He says, you are a chosen generation. You're that royal priesthood. You're the exact person that I've been looking for these specific responsibilities that I would have you go out when it comes to your neighborhood, your family, whatever it might be. You're holy. You're special, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. What a wonderful transaction. Darkness, light. Darkness, light. So we take a look at these sacrifices. I would challenge you to read all 40-some verses, all right? It's confusing at times. It sometimes seems very ritualistic, but in the picture, in the shadow, is the purpose as we see it from this side of Calvary, and how we have responsibilities when it comes to our own sacrificial lives that we have for Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for these word pictures, for these scenes that we can see back in Old Testament times, where the nation of Israel at times seemed to be just a haphazard conglomeration of literally millions of people, but You've designed these things. You have placed these things before us so that they can launch us into seeing and moving us towards that greater one, the much more, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrifices that He has performed for our benefit, so that we can come into a right relationship with You, a holy God. Father, we thank You so much for Him as being that sin offering, for being that wave offering, that heave offering. He has done all things well in Your sight. And we thank You for this great gift of the Holy Spirit that indwells us, so now that we can be found holy, we can be found acceptable in the Beloved. We thank You so much. Father, challenge us that we don't just listen to these words here today, but we incorporate them into our lives. We challenge ourselves with it. We accomplish things in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we go forth from these walls, and we live a life that is well-pleasing to our great High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank You. We commit this to You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.